Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day and have you be part of mine. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Stephen Gaffney is our guest. Stephen is the president of Stephen Gaffney & Company, the author of Just Be Honest and also Honesty Works. He's our honesty expert in the Brain Trust, and he travels around the world talking to people about honesty. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, duh, yeah, we're all supposed to be honest. Well, okay, if we're all supposed to be, how come we're not doing it more? Let's get Stephen to help us out with that. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, Stephen, as always. I just coined a new term, I think, Stephen. I coined the term honesty chameleons.
Huh.
You know, a chameleon, as you know, is a little lizard that can change its colors, all different shades of colors, depending on where it is and how it's, the environment around it and what it needs to do. And, you know, I wonder how many people are honesty chameleons out there. By that I mean, you know, honesty to them is not black or white. It's various shades of gray. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people couch themselves as being honest, but the reality is we all tend to lie. In fact, there was a study done a while back.
Wait a minute. We all tend to lie. That's a rather cynical viewpoint there, isn't it, Stephen? We all tend to lie. Speak for yourself there, Stephen.
I know when people hear that, they're like, I'm not lying. But here's what, you know, there was a study done a while back that showed 91% of people lie regularly. And when I say that to audiences and also with my coaching, people say, well, I'm not lying. Well, they also, if you consider lies of withholding, it's not what people say, it's what they don't say to each other.
The sin of omission.
Yeah, well, and think about it this way. When somebody withholds information, how do we feel towards them and it has us make an entirely different decision? Usually we feel lied to. So sometimes somebody will say, I didn't lie, I just didn't say everything. Well, that usually lands with the other person as a lie, as a really lying.
Mm-hmm.
And how this relates to small businesses is just think how often we're in situations where we're thinking, should I bring it up, should I not? Should I bring it up, should I not? Should I bring it up or should I not? If I bring it up, it might lose the sale or it may ruin the relationship. Let me try to put out this fire. But then this fire becomes a blazing fire, and suddenly we got a major, major problem on our hands. And with financial advisors, I see this a lot where we're thinking, gosh, I wish they would have shared with us more information, or if somebody has particularly money tucked away, I wish they would have been more forthcoming. Mm-hmm. But with customers, I really wish they would have said what they really wanted, because we would have helped them. So it's not what people say, it's what they don't say. And those types of dishonesty or lying or withholding is what damages a relationship and absolutely impacts the growth of our business.
And yet there are times in the marketplace when information should be revealed at a strategic time, isn't there? I mean, there are times you're not talking about where in a 30-minute conversation, you know, I get to decide when I reveal certain things.
Well,
If I know something, and you and I are having a business conversation, you know, I can decide when I want to reveal something. Maybe it's for the better of everybody, but maybe it's just for my advantage.
Yeah, what would be an example of that, Jim?
Well, let's just say that you and I are in business.
Yeah,
we're talking about doing business together, and I've done my homework. I've got some information.
Yes.
And I'm not obligated to give you that information. I've worked for it. It belongs to me. It belongs to everybody who wants to get it. But if you don't have it, I'm not obligated to give it to you until I'm ready to give it to you. So in those cases, if we're negotiating, you know, information is golden in a negotiation.
True.
And so I have the right, in my opinion, to, you know, obviously I can withhold that information until I think it's appropriate to reveal it.
Well, we all have the right to withhold certain things, but here's the determining factor. If the roles were reversed, how would we want to be dealt with? And so even if there's information that we can't or don't want to be forthcoming, or in my line of work, I do a lot of work in the intel area. And so this comes up where we're not only have information, but we're not supposed to share information, and you're talking about being open. What can you do? And you can actually be open that you're not going to share everything, that there is information that you do not feel comfortable in sharing. The problem is when we couch it and act like we are sharing everything, and it has an entirely different decision get made, and the risk is that it ruins or damages the relationship.
Well, and there's one thing, though, there's a term that I learned a long time ago that I really like, and as long as you're applying this principle, I think you're going to be okay, and that's called what I was taught to call dealing in good faith.
Yes.
I love that term, and here's an example back to my example of a minute ago. If you and I are in this negotiation, and I've got information, I can withhold it if I want to because it's the information I've acquired, but if you and I have negotiated a deal point and it's important to me, or let's say it's important to you, and it's a big deal to you, and I concede that and we agree to put it in the contract, and then somehow when the final agreement is ready to be signed, and as you are about to sign it, I happen to know that the thing that you wanted in there isn't in there anymore. It got accidentally dropped out. So if I'm being honest, if I'm dealing in good faith, that would be where I'd say, hey, Stephen, before you sign that, I think there's something in there that we agreed on that's probably needs to be stuck back in there before you sign it. Let's make sure we get you what I promise you could have.
And that is so important because really the more forthcoming we are and the more we tend to look out for other people, the more it serves us. And in fact, honesty sells, and that's the whole subject of our newest book,
right.
Honesty Sells, that really it's not only important in that actual conversation and important in the relationship, but here's the neat thing. It actually helps grow the business because if we think about it, the people we want to do business with are the people that tend to be the most honest and forthcoming because we trust them. So sometimes something might be, let's say in this particular situation, Jim, what you're talking about, where you might think, well, it actually helps me by not having this in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might say, I'm not going to say anything. Hey, it's not my job. They should have looked at it in more detail. The risk is when they catch it, how are they going to feel later on?
They're going to know that you're not dealing in good faith, and that's going to taint the future relationship. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Stephen Gaffney. The book is called Honesty Works, and that's not even the new one. Stay with us. Little Atlanta Rhythm section, ARS. Surely this is our anthem, small business owners. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That song, Do It or Die, that's what you and I do, isn't it? We make it happen. And that's the reason why you make a difference in the world, small business owners, and why you're my hero. It's why you're my heroes and why you make you're so important to what happens out there. And I know somebody else who agrees with me about that is our good friend Stephen Gaffney, who is also a small business owner. And he talks about honesty. And Stephen, give us your website, please.
Oh, it's justbehonest.com. Justbehonest.com.
And in fact, the books are there, right? We can find out more about the books there.
Yep. And actually, if they go to the website, justbehonest.com, and they write and they send me an email, I'll send them an article on getting the unsaid said, the key to growth, innovation, and collaboration. And it's really what we're talking about. It's got some specific tools in there that they can actually do. And we'll just send it to them for free if they reference the show.
What
so
is the
go to justbehonest.com.
What is the unsaid that needs to be said?
Well, here's an easy scenario. You're in a meeting, and the real meeting goes on outside the meeting. And you're thinking, well, it would have been nice to have this kind of information shared in the meeting. or in the conversation, or as we were talking about earlier, we really want our customers to tell us really what's going on because we can do a lot better job. So if we can get the unsaid, what's not spoken, and if we can get that said, we can do a lot better job.
I'll give you an example, and it happens to you probably. When I go give speeches, I love to have Q&A time at the end.
Yes.
Because I like taking answers from the audience. I learn a lot about what's going on out there by doing that. And so I'll ask questions, and we'll get some questions, and then finally there'll be no more questions, and we'll just, you know, I'll leave, and we'll wrap things up. And then somebody will come up to me and ask me a question that would have been great for the audience to have heard, the question and the answer, but they didn't want to do it in front of everybody else. And in meetings, I think, are like that. I fear that there are a lot of meetings like that, Stephen, when an employee won't bring up a really important question, either they're shy or they're afraid that it's a dumb question or whatever, or maybe they just want to control the information themselves, but they won't bring it up. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? This even happens in our own home life. Talk about something that's happened on the side. I was doing a seminar a while back, and a gentleman came up to me, and he said, you know, I wish I had heard this thing, this subject a while back. I said, why? And he said, my wife of 25 years has informed me she wants a divorce.
Wow.
And the worst part about this, as he was sharing this, was, well, one, about the divorce, but the other thing is that he never saw this coming. So he had no idea that his wife was really unhappy. Now, I asked him how this happened, and he said, I just work really long hours, yep. And I stopped checking in and doing some very important things on my end, mm-hmm. But it would have been nice to know on her end how unhappy she was. And so he was so distraught by this. So if we think about this, this subject is so important.
He wasn't paying attention, and she was sort of angry that he didn't care enough to ask.
Yeah,
and so she was going to withhold that from him, wasn't she?
Yeah,
employees do this all the time, don't they?
Absolutely, and here's the thing that I found out is when you ask that employer, you ask that other person, they actually think they are clear, but mm-hmm. Of course the reality is they're not clear. I was just coaching a client of mine who actually had to have a very difficult conversation with one of her direct reports who's not doing the job she wants him to do, and what came out of the coaching is that she hadn't been crystal clear that in her point of view the job is not getting done. In fact, I showed her that there were certain things that she was doing that actually was sending the message that probably he was thinking, oh, she just gets mad, but I can get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way she would react was training and conditioning him that he could keep doing this, when the real message was it's got to get taken care of, and if it doesn't get taken care of, changes need to happen. So the key thing is that we got to ask ourselves is how clear are we being, and is the other person really getting that message to the point where action is being taken?
Right. Absolutely. No, that's a very important point. And folks, this is the kind of stuff that you need to be thinking about with your employees, especially if you have a key employee, a long-term employee, somebody that your business really, really needs. If you're taking that person for granted, if just because that person is showing up every day, year after year, and seems to be happy, don't assume that they are, that you're getting everything, they're getting everything they need. You can't let that lie fallow, can you, Stephen? You need to say, I mean, even if you don't want to broach the subject because you're afraid of what they'll say, you got to get it on the table, because one day they're going to walk up to you and they say, I want a divorce, aren't they, Stephen?
Absolutely. And not only does it relate to retention, but you know what? It relates to the economy. For example, sometimes when small businesses are having a tough time, are we open with our employees about it? Are we openly sharing our finances? And sometimes somebody will say, but I don't want to do that. It's none of their business. Here's the key. Information is power, but it also empowers people to help make decisions. So if we're posing that everything is going well when it's not, then people can get the wrong message and may not be stepping up when they need to.
You can find a way to give your employees financial information without giving them all the financials.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen, give us that website one more time, please.
JustBeHonest.com.
And the new book, Honesty Sales, is out in ebook now?
Yes. In fact, then go to our website and get it.
Honesty Sales, folks, right there at Honesty works.com. Hey, thanks, Stephen. Good job today. Talk to
thanks
you next
for
time.
Having me, Jim.
Good job. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Kenneth Crozen after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.